Chapter 8, Restoring the Tabernacle of David. Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verse from memory, explain what is meant by restoring the tabernacle of David, provide scriptural references where the restoration is prophesied, explain when it will be restored, explain how it will be restored, summarize how the restoration of the tabernacle of David relates to you. Key verse, Acts 15:16. I will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof. Introduction. In the last lesson, you learned how the ark was lost to Israel, and along with it, the presence, power, and glory of God. When David brought back the ark to Israel, God's presence was restored in the midst of his people. The story of this restoration is important because it relates to the modern church and the promise of God, which states in Acts 15:16, I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof. Before proceeding with this lesson, study 1 Chronicles chapters 13 to 17. The promise of restoration. Study the following verses. God said in Amos 9:11-13, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Acts 15:16. I will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof. Here is a summary of the prophecy in these verses. 1. The Lord will return. 2. He will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. He will raise up the ruins and set it up. 3. The purposes for doing this are so that the remnant of Edom, the residue of men, might seek the Lord, and that the Gentiles might have the name of the Lord upon them. Gentile means all nations other than Israel. 4. It is God who is doing these things. 5. It was part of God's plan from the beginning of the world. What do these scriptures mean? What is restoration? What is being restored? When and how will this restoration come? What does it mean to the church today? How does this relate to mobilization? What is restoration? Restoration means to make whole or complete, to make alive. It is the act of returning to an original state or condition. What is being restored? The tabernacle of David is being restored. To understand what this means, we must review a bit of the history of the Ark of the Covenant. Construction of the Ark. Moses was given directions from God for the construction of the Ark during his time on Mount Sinai. See Exodus 26:10-22. The Ark was an oblong-shaped box, 3¾ feet long and 2¼ feet wide and 2¼ feet high. The box was made of wood and overlaid inside and out with gold. Each part of the ark had symbolic meaning. This means that each portion of it represented a spiritual truth. The wood reminds us that the Lord took upon himself human flesh and on a wooden cross bore our sins. Gold speaks of his deity. See 1 Peter 2:24. The three layers, gold, wood, gold, remind us there is one God, eternally existent in three persons. Contents of the Ark. The Ark contained three items, all of which are symbolic spiritually. The tables of stone were a symbol of holiness, that Jesus is the way to God. The pot of manna represented the Word of God. Jesus is also the Word or the truth. Aaron's rod, which represents anointing, and Jesus as the life, see John 14:6. Significance of the ark. As you learned in the last lesson, the ark was a place of deep, spiritual, intimate communion and fellowship with God. It was a place where God manifested his power, presence, and glory. Location of the ark. Originally, the ark was located in the tabernacle of Moses. It was the habitation of God during the wilderness wanderings from Mount Sinai to Shiloh in the Promised Land. The ark was in a room called the Most Holy Place, which was surrounded by the outer court and the holy place. These three partitions in the tabernacle of Moses are symbolic of the threefold ministry of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. The outer court speaks of the prophetic ministry of Jesus. It was in the inner court that sin was dealt with in the Old Testament worship. Jesus became the prophet of God, sent to wash away our sins. The holy place was where the high priest of Israel interceded for the sins of the people. This speaks of the priestly ministry of Jesus, who is ever interceding for believers. The most holy place was sheltered by a thick veil. Behind this veil, one stood in the presence of the King. When we enter behind the veil, spiritually speaking, we meet Christ in his office as King of Kings. After the wilderness journey, when Israel came into Canaan, the ark was set up at Shiloh. This became the central meeting place for the religious life of Israel for a number of years. See Joshua 18, verses 1 and 8 to 10, Joshua 19, 51, Joshua 21, 2, Joshua 22, 9, 12, and 19, Judges 18, 31. You learned in the last chapter how the ark was taken from Shiloh and lost in battle with the enemy. The scriptures record that God, in Psalms 58, 60, and 61, forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and he delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. Once the ark was taken out of the tabernacle of Moses at Shiloh, it never returned there again. When it was restored to the tabernacle of David. There were priests who continued blood sacrifices at Shiloh. They maintained the legal order of Moses, functioning in the tabernacle with its outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. But the most holy place in Shiloh was empty. God's presence was not there. God's presence was in the tabernacle of David. In this tabernacle, sacrifices of praise and worship were offered by singers and musicians. There was no outer court, holy place, and veiled most holy place. There was access for all to the presence of God. What this means spiritually. In David's time, the tabernacle was an actual place, a tent which he prepared to house the ark of God. But in the prophecies you read in this lesson where God spoke of restoring the tabernacle of David, he is speaking in spiritual terms. The restoration of the tabernacle of David is the restoring of a spiritual tabernacle that is to house the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus. Just as the first tabernacle, this spiritual tabernacle contains the threefold ministry of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. It is a habitation of God's power, presence, and glory. God's presence is not found in the old formal ritualistic worship, which is represented by the type which occurred at Shiloh. His new dwelling place is the tabernacle of David. When will it be restored? The Bible says that David's tabernacle will be restored as in the days of old. David's tabernacle will be rebuilt at a time when conditions are similar to the time it was restored in the days of old. What were those times like? David built his tabernacle at a time when the glory and power of God's presence had been lost. Worship had become a ritual. God had forsaken the site of formal worship because of the terrible spiritual condition of his people. Psalm 78, 56 to 61. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. Have you seen conditions in the church similar to these described in these scriptures? Then it is time for the tabernacle of David to be restored. How will it be restored? Our ark of God's presence will be restored in the same way it was at the time of David. Due order. In David's first attempt to bring up the ark, he failed because it was not done after due order. God had commanded that the ark be carried upon staves and borne upon the shoulders of the Levites, spiritual leaders. David tried to move the ark on a cart as the Philistines had done, and God's judgment fell. When David brought up the ark by due order, he was successful. A prepared place. David prepared a place for the ark of God. 1 Chronicles 15, verses 1, 3, and 12. There was a specific planned preparation of a place for the presence of God to dwell. A new tabernacle. David pitched a tabernacle or tent for the habitation of God because the Lord had said in 2 Samuel 7, 6, "Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but they have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle." Gathering together God's people. The preparations for bringing the ark to David's tabernacle also involved a great gathering together of God's people. The unifying factor was the bringing up of the ark of the Lord and a restoration of true worship after the sad years of spiritual decline from Samuel's time through the reign of King Saul. Sanctification. The preparation of David's tabernacle also involved sanctification. David called upon the spiritual leaders of Israel, the priests and the Levites, to sanctify themselves to bring up the ark of God. The word sanctify means to separate oneself, to set apart as holy to the Lord, or for holy use. Their sanctification involved cleansing by the blood, bathing in water, and anointing with holy oil. A return to true worship. When the ark of God was brought up, it was accompanied by singing, shouting, the sound of musical instruments, and dancing. It was certainly not a quiet worship service, but one of great joy, gladness, excitement, and enthusiasm. Even King David played and danced with all his might before the Lord. The musicians sang and played, and the ark, God's presence, was the center of attention. Read Psalm 87:7 and Psalm 68:25. How does this relate to you? Each detail of the actual building and journey of the ark is an example for us today. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Our spiritual ark is God's presence among his people. If we are to experience a return of his power and glory, then we must make spiritual preparations similar to those of David. Due order. We have tried to bring back the presence of God through many types of man-made carts. We have tried Christian entertainment, denominations, rituals, programs, and religions. All of these have failed. If we are to bring back the Ark of God's presence into our midst, we must do it according to God's instructions. We must make the same preparations as David did. These include a prepared place. If David's tabernacle is to be restored, we must prepare a place. We must prepare our individual lives and our churches for this new move of God's presence. New wine cannot be poured into old wineskins. We must rid ourselves of tradition and ritual. We must lay aside our programs, schedules, and traditions, our way of doing things, and prepare ourselves for this new move of God. A new tabernacle. Individual believers are the tabernacle, or place where God now desires to dwell. Believers are called the tabernacle of God in 2 Peter 1, 13-14, 2 Corinthians 5:1, and 1 Corinthians 6:19. The church is made up of believers and is a corporate tabernacle of God's presence. Jesus said, "I will build my church," Matthew 16:18. Paul said, "You are God's building," 1 Corinthians 3:9. Peter said, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house," 1 Peter 2:5. Believers individually and corporately are the true tabernacle of God, of which Jesus is our high priest, Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. This true tabernacle of God is all believers. God cannot be contained in a building of man, whether it be an actual temple or denomination or organization. Gathering together God's people. If the church desires to see the restoration of our spiritual ark of God's presence, then we must come together in unity. The leaders must come together in unity, Exodus 4:29. The people must gather together, Acts 14:27. It is where believers dwell together in unity that the Lord commands his blessing. We must become one people in one accord with one purpose, Psalm 133 and Acts 2, 1-4. Sanctification. Even as sanctification was required in the preparation of David's tabernacle, so it will be required in the spiritual restoration of the tabernacle. Spiritual leaders must be sanctified to bring up the Ark of God. We must return to moral and spiritual integrity in ministry and have financial accountability. The people must be sanctified to receive the Ark of God's presence. No longer can we tolerate sin to run rampant in our congregations. No longer can we sit under the preaching that tickles the ears, entertains, and makes us laugh at cute stories. As Old Testament sanctification involved cleansing by the blood, bathing in water, and anointing with holy oil, so our sanctification involves the blood of Jesus. See Hebrews 13:12. The water of the Word of God, see John 17:17, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, see 1 Peter 1:2. We must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We must return to true teaching, preaching, and responding to God's Word. The anointing of the Holy Spirit must empower the leaders and the people, flowing through our midst and touching the work of our hands with its divine essence. A return to true worship. The Ark of God's presence will return to our midst when we return to true worship. This is not worship by ritual or creed, but it is the type that occurred in the tabernacle of David and when the Ark was brought up to Jerusalem. It is a worship of singing, playing on instruments, shouting, dancing, a worship of great joy, gladness, excitement, and enthusiasm. David's tabernacle will be restored when God's presence, as the Ark in David's time, becomes the center of attention rather than our programs, rituals, and traditions. You will learn more about this true worship in the next lesson entitled Wanted Worshippers and Chapter 10, How to Worship. Restoration and Mobilization. The Lord promised he would restore the tabernacle of David, a habitation for the Spirit of God. It is this restoration ushered in by a return to unity, sanctification, and true praise and worship that will result in a great end-time harvest of souls coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amos 9:11-13. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it, as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. When the tabernacle of David is restored, there will be an abundant harvest, actually many harvests in succession, one right after another. Nations and peoples who do not know the Lord, represented by Edom and the Gentiles in the prophecy of Amos, will begin to turn to the Lord. It will be such a mighty move of God that those reaping the spiritual harvest fields of the world will have difficulty keeping up with it. This is why it is necessary to mobilize all of our spiritual resources now. We must be prepared. Three tabernacles that housed God's presence. The Ark of God was first housed in the tabernacle of Moses. This was a symbol of the law and its accompanying formal, ordered worship. After God forsook this temple and the Ark was lost, it was restored to a new dwelling place, which was the tabernacle of David. This represents the true church, which will follow due order to prepare a place for the presence of God, sanctify themselves, and come together in unity with God's presence as the focus of attention. It is represented by God's people who will enter into a new demonstration of God's power with exciting, exuberant, joyful worship in spirit and in truth. As many in Israel who continue to worship at Shiloh, you can continue with that old formal worship if you want. But the presence of God was at Mount Zion in Jerusalem where the Ark was. You dare not stay at Shiloh when God's Spirit is doing something new at Mount Zion. It is interesting to note that all of Zion was in Jerusalem. Not all of Jerusalem was in Zion. Zion was a city within a city. The name Zion is a name for the people of God. See Isaiah 51:16. God is calling forth a church from within the church in whom the tabernacle of David will be restored. This is not a man-made division or a carnal splitting of churches. Those who worship at Zion will still be part of Jerusalem, but they will be in the new flow of God's Spirit. There was one other Old Testament tabernacle where the Ark was located. Later on, David's son Solomon built a beautiful temple for the Ark. This was the final resting place of this symbol of God's presence. The staves by which the Ark was carried were finally removed. The Ark of God's presence would move no more. The tabernacle of Solomon speaks of that time in the future when God's presence will be forever permanently in our midst. This is why the staves by which the Ark was carried were removed. It speaks of the new heaven and earth which the Apostle John described, Revelation 21:22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God.